One of the major achievements following World War II was the establishment of a parliamentary democracy in Germany. Quite an accomplishment for a country that had been ruled for 12 years by Nazi leaders. But is today's Federal Republic of Germany still a parliamentary democracy? That's a question asked earlier this year by no less than Germany's former federal president, Roman Herzog. And Mr. Herzog has ample reason to ask the question. You're listening to UCOG Online. It's Tuesday, July 31st, 2007, and I'm Paul Kiefer. Former President Herzog pointed out that most of the new legislation that takes effect in Germany these days isn't legislation that was initiated, debated on, and then approved by the Bundestag in Berlin. Instead, it's legislation by the European Union, issuing forth from a select group of appointed Brussels bureaucrats known as the Council of Ministers. To illustrate the point, according to the German Federal Ministry of Justice, between 1998 and 2004, 23,167 legal decrees were enacted in Germany, and of that total, 18,917 were of European Union origin, or about 80% of the total. As the European Union has developed over the years, national parliaments like the Bundestag have approved one EU treaty after another, giving more and more power to a select group of EU officials in Brussels. The Bundestag is definitely a democratically elected parliament. So you could argue that by voting for their congressional representatives, the German people have indirectly approved this transfer of power from Berlin to Brussels. In June, European leaders reached agreement on the framework for writing a new treaty that will shape the EU's future for years to come. If approved, the new treaty will make it easier for future treaties and other similar decisions to be made. Up to now, any one EU country could block EU progress by simply blocking or boycotting a decision. That won't be the case in the future. A majority of EU countries, who represent a majority of the EU's total population, will be enough to get new proposals passed. So this new treaty has the potential for an even faster transfer of power from national parliaments to Brussels. That reminds me of a dream that Babylonian King Nebuchadnezzar had. He saw a large, human-like image. Its head was made of gold, its arms and chest of silver, and its legs of iron, and its feet and toes of iron and clay. And in Daniel chapter 2, the prophet Daniel interprets that dream for us. And we learn that there are to be four successive world-ruling kingdoms, the last of which will be in power when Jesus Christ returns, symbolized by what happens in verse 44, when a stone, not cut by human hands, strikes the image on its feet. It is the 10 toes of that image that are in power when Christ returns. And it's interesting that in the German Bible, in verse 43 of Daniel 2, we are told that those 10 toes represent 10 kings who will agree and be mixed by marriage. Now, a marriage is an agreement based on a contract, or what we might call today a treaty. And over in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, we also read about this final union that will be in power when Jesus Christ returns. It will be a final resurrection of the Roman Empire. And we're told that 10 kings will transfer or cede their power to a central authority called the Beast. That final resurrection of the Roman Empire, like its predecessors, will take place in Europe. And the European Union is no doubt a predecessor to that final union of kings or nations. And it's interesting that in the European Union, there is already a pattern established for the voluntary transfer of sovereignty to a central authority, in the same way that national parliaments have transferred considerable authority to the Council of Ministers in Brussels. A future group of 10 leaders will turn over their power to a central authority in establishing a final resurrection of the Roman Empire. The pattern is already established, and the future is clear. As we read in Revelation 17 and verse 13, these, the 10 kings, are possibly 10 individuals representing various areas in Europe. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. A voluntary transfer of power. So this final revival of the Roman Empire, as it's described here in Revelation chapter 17, will be what I've called the democratic dictatorship. And the pattern is already well established in today's European Union, with national parliaments, democratically elected, gradually transferring more and more of the responsibility for national legislation to a central authority in Brussels. In reality, a small group of men, the EU Council of Ministers. This is Paul Kiefer for UCOG Online. Keep listening.